Good morning. I am Jim Ewart, and on behalf of North Star Mennonite Church in Drake, welcome you to pause from your daily routines and responsibilities for a time of worship and meditation. People are excited to be able to finish the harvest left over from last fall and to begin planting the fields and the gardens. Today is the eighth consecutive Sunday that we have not been able to meet for corporate worship. In a way, it reminds us of Jesus' words as recorded in John's Gospel, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with you." This is an assurance for us gathered in front of our computer screens for worship time, and also a hope that this too shall pass. I'd invite you to look at your bulletins for announcements, and I have one announcement to make here. As a community and a church family, we welcome Rose Graber, who left the metropolis and has retreated to the solitude of Drake. May you sense God's blessings and meaningful relationships here. I'd invite you to bow with me in an opening prayer. In the morning, O Lord, you hear our voices. In the morning, we bring our praise to you and lay our requests before you, waiting in expectation. We praise you for the miraculous ways that you formed creation. We enjoy the crocuses on the hillsides and the pussy willows in the marshes. We have noticed the swallows darting around the tractor windows, snatching stray insects, while following behind are the gulls gathering their tasty breakfast. So we thank you for springtime and the new life it brings, just as you offer us new life in Jesus. This is the day that we think of our mothers who so selflessly cared for our physical needs and nurtured our faith. Grant the parents of young children the patience, the wisdom, and the tact to direct them in the path that they should go. Give grandparents wisdom and serenity to support parents and to be a faithful example to the children. Today, we are reminded that like a caring parent, you patiently love us. We wait for you this morning. Amen. Hear these words of assurance. It is the Lord who heals our spirits and bodies. It is the Lord who brings rejoicing in the morning. It is the Lord who sustains us. It is the Lord who forgives our iniquities and assures us that he will abundantly pardon. Then I would like to read the Old Testament scripture passage this morning, which is taken from Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. Who can find a truly excellent woman, one who is superior in all that she is and all that she does? Her worth far exceeds that of rubies and expensive jewelry. She inspires trust, and her husband's heart is safe with her, and because of her, he has every good thing. Every day of her life, she does what is best for him, never anything harmful or hurtful. Delight attends her work and guides her fingers as she selects the finest wool and flax for spinning. She moves through the market like merchant ships that dock here and there in distant ports, finally arriving home with food that she has carried from afar. She rises from bed early in the still of the night and carefully prepares food for her family and also provides a portion for her servants. She has a plan. She considers some land and buys it. Then, with her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She wraps herself in strength. She carries herself with confidence, and she works hard, strengthening her arms for the task at hand. She tastes success and knows it is good. And under lamplight, she works deep into the night. Her hands skillfully placed the unspun flax and wool on the distaff, and her fingers twist the spindle until thread forms. She reaches out to the poor and extends mercy to those in need. She is not worried about the cold or the snow for her family, because she has clothed them all in warm crimson coats. She makes her own bed linens and clothes herself in purple and fine cloth. Everyone recognizes her husband in the public square. And no one fails to respect him as he takes his place of leadership in the community. She makes linen garments and sells them in the market, and she supplies belts for tradesmen to carry across the sea. Clothed in strength and dignity, with nothing to fear, she smiles when she thinks about the future. She conducts her conversation with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is ever her concern. She directs the activities of her household, and never does she indulge in laziness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband too joins in the praise, saying, "There are some, indeed many, women who do well in every way, but of all of them, only you are truly excellent." Charm can be deceptive, and physical beauty will not last, but a woman who reveres the Eternal should be praised above all others. Celebrate all she has achieved. Let her accomplishments publicly praise her. In this time of pandemic and shutdown, needs have expanded far beyond what anyone had imagined. Giving to churches and charities has dropped drastically. MCC, MDS, and food banks all have more requests than resources. We would like to remind you that food bank items may be left at the grocery store in Lanigan for a local food bank. Then I would like to invite you to join with me in a prayer for a blessing on our offerings. God, through your generous love and care, we have received abundantly. Teach us how to wisely use what you have entrusted to us, and how to willingly share so that your love may be proclaimed and experienced. Amen. Now Pastor Dan will have our morning meditation.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. You may notice this is a little different setup, and if I look to my right, your left occasionally, I'm just making sure we're still recording. And I've tried to add something every Sunday is a symbol in some way. This painting is by my mother-in-law, Winifred Waltner. She grew up in China and spoke Chinese till the day she died. And she got into Oriental brush painting. Also, tea is a favorite of my wife and of my mother-in-law and of my mother. And so that symbolizes just having a snack, having kids or grandkids or whoever. And Jim, if I'm too far this way, let me know. Anyway. Today's a day of celebration and nostalgia. We celebrate our mothers.
A little bit this way.
We celebrate who our mothers are and what they mean to us. We're nostalgic when we look in the past, because those pictures, those videos are precious to us. Those that are in our brains, and also the actual physical ones. One picture I have of my mother is I was sitting on the kitchen counter watching her peel vegetables for supper. She was at the sink. I had just cut my little toe, and she had bandaged it and comforted me. It was a deep cut, but very small. I don't remember how old I was. But part of the comforting was just sitting and watching her work, and we did a lot of talking and sharing. We were so busy that we did not notice my toe began to bleed again. As the blood slowly dripped on the kitchen floor, we just kept sharing. The kitchen floor looked out on the garage, and so when my dad came home, we saw him. At the same time, we noticed, and in my imagination, in my memory, as a little child, it was a big pool of blood that had dripped onto the floor. My mom immediately knew I needed stitches, and so she yelled at my dad that he should not put the car away and that he needed to take me to the doctor right now. We all have these snapshots and videos in our minds that are precious memories of our parents and of our mothers. The theme today is creating joyful motherhood. One of our texts is two verses from Proverbs, Proverbs 23, 22, and 25. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. So today, in this day of celebration, my intention is not to dampen the joy we have, but to acknowledge that joyful motherhood is not the experience of every mother, and that even with a good mother and a good situation, it takes a lot of work. Good days and bad days that we all have. There are a number of factors, there are many more, but I just want to acknowledge a few that make motherhood less joyful or more difficult. First, geographic distance is a reality today. Many families are spread apart. It seems to be getting harder and harder to get the whole family together in one time in one place. This dampens the joy of special days and daily life, but it also gives a good excuse for travel. And it also, at least in this time of pandemic, we're on Skype a lot more with our children and grandchildren. WhatsApp is a good tool too. Second, in this time of pandemic, we hear lots of despair and tiredness from mothers and fathers. How much togetherness is too much? How much nagging can I stand to do? How much homeschooling can I carry out? When will school start? I've heard more than one mother said, homeschooling is not my gift. There is relief expressed that the weather now allows outside activities. Third, aging takes its toll. The young, vigorous woman I remember is only a faint memory. I like this poem I came across that is anonymous in origin. The setting is in a nursing home. As you see, staff, what do you see, staff? What do you see? What are you thinking about when you're looking at me? A crafty old woman, not very wise, uncertain of habit and far away eyes. I'm a small child of 10 with a mother and father, brothers and sisters who love one another, a bride in her 20s. My heart gives a leap, remembering the vow that I promised to keep. A woman of 30, my young now grow fast, bound to each other with ties that should last. At 40, my sons have grown and are gone, but my man is beside me to see I don't mourn. At 50, once more babies play around my knees. Again, we know children, my husband and me. I'm an old woman now, and nature is cruel. 'Tis her jest to make old age look like a fool. The body, it crumbles, grace and vigor depart. There is now a stone where I once had a heart. But inside this old carcass, a young girl still dwells. And now and again, my battered heart swells. I remember the joys and I remember the pain. And I am loving and living life over again. I think of the years, all too few, gone too fast. And accept the stark fact that nothing can last. So open your eyes, people, open and see, not a crabby old woman. Look closer, see me. Fourth, broken relationships take their toll. At times, our family life is not as it should be. At times, our family life is broken up with a lack of commitment, destructive habits, unwillingness to apologize, get help, pride, abuse, and so on. In some homes, it is difficult for children to honor parents who have sinned grievously against them, as the fourth commandment says. In other homes, children seem bent on rebelling against their parents. Strained relationships take their toll. The perfect child, the wonderful teenager, and maturing young adult in their 30s starts to lash out and accuse their parents of all kinds of things, many of which, in retrospect, have some truth in them. But because those real and imagined hurts, bitterness and hostility towards parents grows and strains the family relationships. Forgiveness is forsaken. What seems a good upraising now seems to have been a smothering maternal control throughout the childhood that was not as happy as it appeared on the surface. One daughter, almost 50, at her mother's funeral, turned to a friend and said, "I was always jealous of the freedom you had as a child. My mother was still telling me what to do up to 48 hours of her death. Old resentments, long buried and denied, come to the surface and are used as weapons. Spiritual alienation also takes its toll. Many mothers are crying inside and at times outwardly that a child of theirs is not walking with Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And consequently, their grandchildren are not receiving the teaching they need for eternal life. The tears are prayers and signs of yearning that their children and grandchildren come to saving faith in the Lord. Also, there are middle-aged children who are concerned about their parents' spiritual state. They have had a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ and yearn that their parents experience the power of God's salvation. The parents live ethical lives, but they are not born again. So we see the younger generation praying for the older, just as we see the older praying for the younger. And there's an ongoing debate. It might not seem that to many people, but I think it's still there, about the role of women in a society. That ongoing tension still, I think, takes a toll. We hear about glass ceilings, as well as the struggles family have needing two incomes. We find the ambivalence which females have about their endeavors to successfully combine careers and families. We often hear the incredible anger and frustration about the difficulty of being a working mother whose husband doesn't help with childcare, cleaning, cooking, and laundry. Why are there so many situations in which the parent-child relationship lacks joy? One reason is I think we're an evolving society where the criteria for personal happiness is different than it was a few decades ago. Women were expected to work at the home. Men worked outside the home. Even on the farm, men had their roles and women had theirs. What makes the Proverbs passage that was read so interesting is it's almost like the woman, the mother, had multiple roles of administration that went beyond just taking care of children and the household. The household back then was much bigger than the nuclear family. Families often work together and parents train their children, but today traditional family structure is questioned. Even the nuclear family structure is being questioned. Women have more independence. The economy has changed and many families need two incomes. Women with good incomes actually have more freedom and power than they did in the past. Many people seem caught between the feminist movement and then the backlash. For women, there is appeal of having a life outside of the home. In every congregation, we have at least three generations of people with different experiences growing up. So how do we support each other and live together? We are a people in transition, and it is important to step back as followers of Jesus and look at the stresses and the cultural changes we experience. Then we need to keep in mind two biblical admonitions that can help us create joyful motherhood. We need to make no apology when we talk about honoring our fathers and mothers. We do not need to despair of having a healthy relationship between the generations. We need to go to the Bible, whose teachings are specific, at times idealistic, yet realistic. Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 24 tell us of the difference of the old life and the new. It describes what we are like in contrast to what we are becoming in Jesus Christ. It describes what we are in Jesus Christ in contrast to what we were before we chose to follow Jesus. It describes what we aspire to, what we grow toward. Please listen as this passage is read by Jim.
From Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, as witness of the Lord, I insist on this, that you no longer walk in the outsiders' ways with minds devoted to worthless pursuits. They are blind to true understanding. They are strangers and aliens to the kind of life that God has for them, because they live in ignorance and immorality, and because their hearts are cold, hard stones. And now, since they've lost all natural feelings, they have given themselves over to sensuality, greedy, and reckless living. They stop at nothing to satisfy their impure appetites. But this is not the path of the Anointed One, which you have learned. If you have heard Jesus and have been taught by him according to the truth that is in him, even you know to take off your former way of life, your crumpled old self, that dark blot of a soul corrupted by deceitful desire and lust, to take a fresh breath and to let God renew your attitude and spirit. Then you are ready to put on your new self, modeled after the very likeness of God, truthful, righteous, and holy.
Then in the rest of chapter 4, we are told the rules of a new life in Christ. Two of the rules tell us how we can create joyful motherhood. One deals with action, the other deals with attitude. But all the verses give us helps toward loving actions and attitudes.
So, put away your lies and speak the truth to one another, because we're all part of one another. When you are angry, don't let it carry you into sin. Do not let the sun set with anger in your heart, or give the devil room to work. If you have been stealing, stop. Thieves must go to work like everyone else and work honestly with their hands so that they can share with anyone who has a need. Don't let even one rotten word seep out of your mouths. Instead, offer only fresh words that build others up when they need it most. That way, your good works will communicate grace to those who hear them. It's time to stop bringing grief to God's Holy Spirit. You have been sealed with the Spirit, marked as his own for the day of rescue. Banish bitterness, rage, and anger, shouting and slander, and any and all malicious thoughts. These are poison. Instead, be kind and compassionate. Graciously forgive one another, just as God has forgiven you through his Anointed One, our liberating King.
Our action is to speak the truth. Jesus came that we might know the truth. He declared the truth would set us free. Jesus doesn't ask us to hide our heads in the sand, pretending things are nicer than they are. He deals with the tough and hard realities of human life. In verse 25, the Apostle Paul wrote, "So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors." If we speak the truth, we must put aside falsehood. Falsehood. Part of falsehood is naive, childish dreams. Three of these are: one, seldom do our children live up to our dreams for them. Two, seldom do our parents live up to our dreams for them. Three, seldom do we ourselves live up to all our dreams for ourselves. So be honest. Tell it like it is. The Bible is very clear that neither parents or children are perfect. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there is no perfect parent and no perfect children. That's the truth. And as we encourage each other, parent and child, to speak the truth, we will find life more liberating. When my children tell me an act or a word of mine hurt them, I should feel hurt and guilty. But then I am free to say I am sorry, and if needed, explain my viewpoint and change. Without communication, I don't know their truth or see how I affect them. The Bible tells us that when we feel we have been wronged by a brother or sister in Christ, we should go to that person and tell them how we feel. Do we realize that our parents and our children are also our brothers and sisters in Christ? So parent and child need to be mutually submissive to each other in mutual honesty. This prevents loneliness. The greatest loneliness in the world is to simply not know the truth and not be able to adjust our behavior and attitudes. This results in broken, unhealed, unhealthy relationships. The second rule for joyful motherhood is to have the right attitude. Ephesians 4:32 tells us, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you." Truth is important. To have a good attitude but to not be in touch with reality is unfortunate. However, the flip side is just as true. To speak the truth but to do it in a hard, brittle, uncaring, judgmental, unloving attitude is to destroy, not to build up. Parent and child need to be kind in how they speak the truth. This involves genuine openness, not talking down, not being hostile, but with an attitude of tenderheartedness, inquiry, and compassion. Identifying with the other person, trying to see things from the other's point of view. Children, try to remember that your parents' words and actions don't come in a vacuum. Often they're because they do care about you. But often, as the scripture tells us, the sins of one generation are visited on the second and third generation. So how they have wronged you most likely is an area in which they themselves have been wronged. As a parent, keep asking God for wisdom and compassion, but don't avoid the truth, especially about yourself. Forgiveness is also part of the proper attitude. Be forgiving just as Christ forgave you. Parents forgiving children and children forgiving parents keeps the relationship from being strained and broken. We are not to wait till the child grovels at our feet, nor are we to wait till the parents understand all the implications of their sin or wrongdoing, or until someone is in the ground. We are to forgive. Creating a joyful motherhood takes work in our society with all the ongoing tensions and strains, but it can be done when parent and child work together in honoring, in speaking the truth, and with the proper attitudes. With God's help and guidance, we can celebrate the gift of motherhood. Our texts don't say anything about laughing together or doing activities together, but they also are important. These build relationships and also memories. We can celebrate the gift God has given us in our mothers, and we can move into even better relationships as mother and child, parent and children, as we keep in loving contact and respect and respect each other for who we are. We can honor, respect, and rejoice, and we keep forgiving. Mothers are special. God gave them to us. They work hard, face lots of strain, and go to great lengths to love us. Let's celebrate by honoring them today and every day. Let's create the conditions of joyful motherhood. Going to move to a time of prayer. I invite you to join with me. For those of you who get the bulletin or want to go to the North Star Mennonite Church website, we have a bulletin that has some additional prayers. We've been using in our bulletin, first there was 20 prayers for the pandemic from Christianity Today magazine, and we had five of them each Sunday. And then the same author shared 20 more prayers, and five of those are in our bulletin. I invite you to use those as part of your prayer life. But let's pray. God of power and might, who raised Jesus from the dead, You free our hearts from trouble and prepare a place of joy for all your children. So we thank you for your promise and your peace, which we need so desperately these days. In Christ, we know you as a way. You deliver all who turn to you in moments of challenge or uncertainty. We pray for those who feel lost or alone, those who live with great anxiety and doubt, and any who are fearful of what tomorrow might bring. God of the way, open our eyes of those, open the eyes of those who are struggling, in whatever way they are struggling, so that they can see that there is a new way filled with hope for them, with the promise of rest and renewal. In Christ, we know you as the truth. You reveal the falsehood and lies that ensnare us in these confusing times. We pray for those who have put their faith in false hope and flimsy promises, those who are deceived by the fabrications of the power-hungry, and any who are misled by distortions and twisted claims that circulate each day. God of truth, reveal the shallowness of things that distract or mislead us and empower us to see what is true. In Christ, we know you as the life. You promise to overcome all that is rooted in death and decay by your resurrecting power. We pray for people who struggle with illness or grief, and all who live with deep sadness, depression, or hopelessness. We pray for those for whom each day seems like a chore, and for those for whom opportunities for abundant life are cut down by acts of discrimination or the loss of what seemed like security just a few weeks ago. God of all life in each life, heal those who are suffering and make your justice known in this land. We also just remember all of those who are facing normal problems in life, including the abnormal ones, but miscarriages, unemployment, death of a parent or great illness of a parent, jobs that aren't fulfilling their promise, family situations that are difficult and seem unresolvable. Help each of us and your whole church to follow in the footsteps of Christ, so that in our living and loving, your kingdom of justice and love is revealed. This we pray in the name of Jesus. And Jesus, we pray for mothers around the world, especially for those who are suffering because of war, starvation, the increased abuse in this time of pandemic, illness, and disease, and so on. May they find what they need to sustain them, as well as experience your comforting presence with them. The world needs to do more than offer assistance, prayers, encouragement, and recognition of their plight. We need a change in how societies and governments manage themselves. It's very clear now that essential workers are the most disposable workers in the way our economics and governments operate. This needs to change. And we need the rich and powerful to learn your ways. So we ask that the mothers around the world find joy and gratefulness today, whatever their situation. In Jesus' name, amen. And then closing with the benediction. May the Lord, who brought us to birth by his Spirit, strengthen us for the Christian life. May the Lord provides for all our needs, sustain us day by day. May the Lord, whose steadfast love is constant as a mother's care, send us out to live and work for others. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. So go into your week, knowing you are embraced by the love of God, a love that is sweeter and more tender than any you have never known. In Jesus' name, amen. This concludes our service. Go in peace.